Ave Maria, welcome to another edition of The Children of Mary. We're back. Last week we heard from a one-day symposium that was in London at the Brompton Oratory explaining Mary co-redemptrix. So that can be our episode on Who is Mary? I've looked a little bit at the calendar for August, and providentially for our show, some feasts fall on a Tuesday. I'm wanting to, let's say, do a bit of justice to these feasts. We'll adjust a bit our cycle. So I'll attempt to do two shows in one sometimes. Because coming up on a Tuesday, we have the Feast of the Assumption, which is next week, next Tuesday. That's the 15th of August. And the 22nd of August, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We're following the old calendar. And in the old calendar, today is Saint John Vianney. Let's say something about Saint John Vianney. I'm going to say a quote from, it is his feast today, sorry, recently come back from Italy. We drove there from England, going through France, and I'm recovering. So really, Saint John Vianney said, "My children, Saint Philomena has great power with God. Her virginity and generosity in embracing her heroic martyrdom has rendered her so agreeable to God that he will never refuse her anything that she asks for us." End quote. I've said this quote before, but I thought I'd repeat it, given that today is Saint John Maria Baptista Vianney's feast day, patron of parish priests. Today we speak of the virtues of Our Lady, and we'll try to tie in a little bit the saints in their imitation of Mary. His humility, he was so humble, Saint John Vianney. And here is an example of someone who sincerely doesn't ascribe goods to themselves, but to the giver, who is God. And the miracles were worked through the intercession of Saint Philomena. And let us begin, as we embark to speak about Our Lady's humility. So vast is that sea, let's say. We couldn't cover it all. We might have to come back and speak about the humility of Our Lady. We'll beat our chests if we're actually sinning against humility in trying to even explore such vast sea. But we recognize it's so vast, we couldn't even raise our eyes to look at it. But given that this is the children of Mary, and this is such an important virtue, we have to at least try to say something about it. So let us start by saying, let us never ascribe the gifts and favors of God to ourselves. All we have is our sins. I remember I had a friend, a dear friend, who passed away young, and he wanted to set up a business, an art business. He was quite a talented artist. He was inspired by a local artist, And he wanted to call his company I Did This. Now, this is no way me trying to criticize my friend who passed away. And it's funny, actually, that he did a painting, and we noticed that one day there was like a smudge on his painting, like a white smear. It was a painting of himself. It was quite a dark painting, but you could see this white smear behind him. So he painted himself, but we could see behind it there was this white mark. We laughed about it, both of us. We said it's almost like, looks like a ghost. It looks like death tapping you on the shoulder. And we laughed about it, and he died not too long after. But, you know, pray for his soul. His company was called I Did This. Now, why do I mention this? Because we should never let this, let's say, be our soul. To ascribe, to attribute everything to ourselves. I hope it doesn't sound bad, me speaking about my friend who passed away. But I did this. We have the tendency to want to ascribe things to ourselves. Saint Therese of the Child Jesus said that all good thoughts that came to her came from the Holy Spirit. So let us not be who say, that's mine, I did this, that's because of me. Let us never ascribe anything to ourselves, and take Saint John Vianney as an example, knowing that it was through Saint Philomena that goods were being worked in his parish. Now, Duns Scotus, the subtle doctor, in describing pride, calls it also selfishness. So let us also consider the aspect of love that is needed to be humble. Now, I've probably said this more than once before, but just because I'm speaking about certain things on the radio doesn't mean that I live it. So I'll have to be the first in the queue to learn these things. So I'd never want to come across as the master who is teaching on a microphone. I have to learn all of these things as well. So I often hesitate in speaking about spiritual things because people might think, oh, well, doesn't he know a lot? But in fact, I know nothing. So I just wanted to underline that. And as we're speaking about humility, so I have to be taking notes. But this is for the children of Mary, and the children of Mary have to be similar to their mother. So it is right that we look at this most important virtue. So let us remember love and humility. Now, from the glories of Mary, of Saint Alphonsus Liguori, we'll read a bit from the glories of Mary. Saint Alphonsus writes, humility, says Saint Bernard, is the foundation and guardian of virtues, and with reason, for without it, no other virtue can exist in a soul. Should she possess all virtues, all will depart when humility is gone. But on the other hand, as St. Francis de Sales wrote to St. Jane Francis de Chantal, God so loves humility that whenever he sees it, he is immediately drawn thither. This beautiful and so necessary virtue was unknown in the world, but the Son of God himself came on earth to teach it by his own example, and willed that in that virtue in particular we should endeavour to imitate him. Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart. Mary, being the first and most perfect disciple of Jesus Christ in the practice of all virtues, was the first also in that of humility, and by it merited to be exalted above all creatures. It was revealed to Saint Matilda that the first virtue in which the Blessed Mother particularly exercised herself from her very childhood was that of humility. The first effect of humility of heart is a lowly opinion of ourselves. Mary had always so humble an opinion of herself that, as it was revealed to the same Saint Matilda, although she saw herself enriched with greater graces than all other creatures, she never preferred herself to anyone. The Abbot Rupert, explaining the passage of the sacred canticles, "Thou hast wounded my heart, my sister, my spouse, with one hair of thy neck." That's from the Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 9. Says that the humble opinion which Mary had of herself was precisely that hair of the spouse's neck with which she wounded the heart of God. Not indeed that Mary considered herself a sinner, for humility is truth, as Saint Teresa remarks, and Mary knew that she had never offended God, nor was it that she did not acknowledge that she had received greater graces from God than all other creatures, for a humble heart always acknowledges the special favors of the Lord to humble herself the more. But the Divine Mother, by the greater light wherewith she knew the infinite greatness and goodness of God, also knew her own nothingness, and therefore, more than all others, humbled herself, saying with the sacred spouse, "Do not consider that I am brown, because the sun hath altered my cloth." That's from Canticle of Canticles, chapter 1, verse 5, or Song of Songs. That is, as Saint Bernard explains it, "When I approach him, I find myself black." Yes, says Saint Bernardine, for the Blessed Virgin had always the majesty of God and her own nothingness present to her mind. As a beggar, when clothed with a rich garment which has been bestowed upon her, does not pride herself on it in the presence of the giver, but is rather humbled, being reminded thereby of her own poverty. So also, the more Mary saw herself enriched, the more did she humble herself, remembering that all was God's gift, whence she herself told Saint Elizabeth of Hungary that she might rest assured that she looked upon herself as the most vile and unworthy of God's grace. That's what Mary thought of herself. Therefore, Saint Bernardine says that after the Son of God, no creature in the world was so exalted as Mary, because no creature in the world ever humbled himself so much as she did. We'll just comment a bit. Saint Bernardine of Siena, when he's not calling God a creature. Anyway, let's move on. Moreover, it is an act of humility to conceal heavenly gifts. Mary wished to conceal from Saint Joseph the great favor whereby she had become the mother of God, although it seemed necessary to make it known to him, if only to remove from the mind of her poor spouse any suspicions as to her virtue, which he might have entertained on seeing her pregnant, or at least the perplexity in which it indeed threw him. For Saint Joseph, on the one hand, unwilling to doubt Mary's chastity, and on the other, ignorant of the mystery, was minded to put her away privately. This he would have done, had not the angel revealed to him that his spouse was pregnant by the operation of the Holy Ghost. We'll just add also that some sources say that it wasn't permitted to Our Lady to reveal this mystery to Saint Joseph, as well as her humility. We'll continue to read from the Glories of Mary. Again, a soul that is truly humble refuses her own praise, and should praises be bestowed on her, she refers them all to God. Behold, Mary is disturbed at hearing herself praised by Saint Gabriel. And when Saint Elizabeth said, "Blessed art thou among women, and whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed art thou that hast believed," Mary referred all to God, and answered in that humble canticle, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." We'll just add again that we have to understand that when Mary, let's say, was disturbed at hearing herself being praised by Saint Gabriel, it was because of her humility, not because she was afraid of suffering. She was disturbed because she was humble, and the humble refuse to be praised. They want all praise to be given to God. So when Elizabeth said, "Blessed art thou among women, and whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Blessed art thou that hast believed," Mary referred all to God, and answered in that humble canticle, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," as if she had said, "Thou dost praise me, Elizabeth, but I praise the Lord, to whom alone honor is due. Thou wonderest that I should come to thee, and I wonder at the divine goodness in which alone my spirit exalts, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. Thou praisest me, because I have believed. I praise my God, because he hath been pleased to exalt my nothingness, because he hath regarded the humility of his handmaid." Hence Mary said to Saint Bridget, "I humbled myself so much, and thereby merited so great a grace, because I thought and knew that of myself I possessed nothing. For this same reason, I did not desire to be praised. I did not desire to be praised. I only desired that praises should be given to the Creator and Giver of all." Wherefore, an ancient author, speaking of the humility of Mary, says, "O truly blessed humility, which hath given God to men, opened heaven, and delivered souls from hell." It is also part of humility to serve others. Mary did not refuse to go and serve Elizabeth for 3 months. Hence, Saint Bernard says, "Elizabeth wondered that Mary should have come to visit her, but that which is still more admirable is that she came not to be ministered to, but to minister." Those who are humble are retiring and choose the last places, and therefore Mary, remarks Saint Bernard, when her son was preaching in a house, it is related by Saint Matthew, wishing to speak to him, would not of her own accord enter, but remained outside and did not avail herself of her maternal authority to interrupt him. For the same reason also, when she was with the apostles awaiting the coming of the Holy Ghost, she took the lowest place, as Saint Luke relates. All these were persevering with one mind in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's from Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Not that Saint Luke was ignorant of the Divine Mother's merits on account of which he should have named her in the first place, but because she had taken the last place amongst the apostles and women, and therefore he described them all, as an author remarks, in the order in which they were. So I'll read from Acts chapter 1 verse 14 again. All these were persevering with one mind in prayer with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So Mary is mentioned after the women, last. Hence St. Bernard says, justly has the last become the first, who being the first of all became the last. In fin, those who are humbled love to be contempt. Therefore, we do not read that Mary showed herself in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday when her son was received by the people with so much honor. But on the other hand, at the death of her son, she did not shrink from appearing on Calvary through fear of the dishonor which would occur to her when it was known that she was the mother of him who was condemned to die an infamous death as a criminal. Therefore, she said to St. Bridget, what is more humbling than to be called a fool, to be in want of all things, and to believe oneself the most unworthy of all? Such, O daughter, was my humility. This was my joy. This was all my desire with which I thought how to please my son alone. The venerable sister Paola of Foligno was given to understand in an ecstasy how great was the humility of our Blessed Lady, and giving an account of it to her confessor, she was so filled with astonishment at its greatness that she could only exclaim, oh, the humility of the Blessed Virgin! Oh, Father, the humility of the Blessed Virgin! How great was the humility of the Blessed Virgin! In the world, there is no such thing as humility, not even in its lowest degree, when you see the humility of Mary. On another occasion, our Lord showed St. Bridget two ladies. The one was all pomp and vanity. She, he said, is pride. But the other one, whom you see with her head bent down, courteous towards all, having God alone in her mind, and considering herself as no one, is humility. Her name is Mary. Hereby, God was pleased to make known to us that the humility of his Blessed Mother was such that she was humility itself. Now that's incredible. I think I'll have to repeat that. God was pleased to make it known to us that the humility of his Blessed Mother was such that she was humility itself. Isn't that amazing? Mary is humility itself. There can be no doubt, as St. Gregory of Nyssa remarks, that of all virtues, there is perhaps none the practice of which is more difficult to our nature, corrupted as it is by sin, than that of humility. But there is no escape. We can never be true children of Mary if we are not humble. If, says St. Bernard, you cannot imitate the virginity of this humble virgin, imitate her humility. She detests the proud and only invites the humble to come to her. Whoever is a little one, let him come to me. Mary, says Richard of St. Lawrence, protects us under the mantle of humility. The Mother of God herself explained to St. Bridget what her mantle was, saying, come, my daughter, and hide thyself under my mantle. This mantle is my humility. She then added that that the consideration of her humility was a good mantle with which we could draw, with which we could warm ourselves, but that as a mantle only renders disservice to those who wear it, not in thought but in deed, so also would her humility be of no avail except to those who endeavoured to imitate it. She then concluded in these words, "Therefore, my daughter, clothe thyself with this humility." Oh, how dear are humble souls to Mary, says St. Bernard. This blessed Virgin recognizes and loves those who love her, and is near to all who call upon her, and especially to those whom she sees like unto herself in chastity and humility. Hence, the saint exhorts all who love Mary to be humble. Emulate this virtue of Mary, if thou lovest her. Marinus or Martin d'Alberto of the Society of Jesus used to sweep the house and collect the filth through love for this Blessed Virgin. The Divine Mother one day appeared to him, as Father Nierenberg relates in his life, and thanking him, as it were, said, "Oh, how pleasing to me is this humble action done for my love." Then, O my Queen, I can never be really this child unless I am humble. But dost thou not see that my sins, after having rendered me ungrateful to my Lord, have also made me proud? O my Mother, do thou supply a remedy. By the merit of thy humility, obtain that I may be truly humble and thus become thy child. Amen. End quote from The Glories of Mary. Now, let us learn a bit from the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We're going to read from some private revelations. First, we'll read from a little bit from the Mystical City of God, and then there's another book called The Life of Mary as Seen by the Mystics, which is a TAN publication, which has, let's say, a combination of different private revelations that speak about the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we'll read a bit from The City of God,